Hi, this is Russ. We're getting ready to go over session number 16 in Freedom Encounters. So I hope the Lord is blessing you and that you are just unleashing ministry to others. Whether, again, you're dealing with just anybody in your office or on the street, remember always to just let the Lord Jesus Christ lead you, the Spirit of God guide you, and the Word of God be preeminent in all these sessions that you're dealing with. Whoever they may be. We're going to deal right now with an overview of a freedom encounter for a SRA, Satanic Ritual Abuse, and MPD. I still call it multiple personality. I don't like the word disorder, so just MP is good also. Some add the idea of DID or MC, mind control, because it's all involved. So throughout, whether I call it the chosen one or just, again, a multiple, call it multiple, all referring to the same thing, as you see on page 40. Page 40, it's going to go over just simply this. If you look at the key in the beginning, ministry to an SRA MPD is unprecedented. And it truly is in all of history, because barely did we have any kind of encounters with this in the 70s. And then the 80s, it began to flow, and 90s, hundreds of thousands were showing up everywhere, and now we are into the millions of multiples. And this may only be the first wave. If this generation of those in their 30s, 40s, and maybe even the beginnings of their 50s are here, then we're also going to see, you know that that there are those that are in their teens, and also babies being brought through on a whole new level. So please understand that it is unprecedented, and we need a very deep understanding of its origins, why they're here, the beginning of it. It's not just victimization, though that's the core of what is occurring, but we're dealing with, truthfully, the apex of biblical prophecy on the satanic side. We're dealing with truly how humans are being used on the satanic side, and what a lot of this does reveal what Satan is up to and what are some of his methods. So we're also going to deal not only with the complexities of subpersonalities and the very varieties of different kinds of personalities and so forth, but also the demonic, the programming, cult connections, the need for inner healing, and outside needs assessment. In other words, is there people still messing with them and wanting to get them back? So this is simply an overview for each one of these. When I deal with one and two, once I come to three, like going after the demonic, then deal with B under two, page 40, personalities, C, D, E, F, G, and so forth, each one of those will be a one-hour separate teaching. So you're just getting the Reader's Digest overview of just dealing with an SRA MPD. And this is the overarching thing. The primary issue is really the demonic, the personalities, and the healing issues. But it goes into much more detailed work. And so I'm going to give you the overview in this session. And in the sessions to come, the very next session will be dealing with the demonic in a broader way, in a multiple, SRA multiple. And then the one after that will be a one-hour session on personalities, listening and talking. The next MP3 or CD will be on inviting Jesus in for the Freedom Encounter, which deals with a whole section on inner healing. And D will deal with another section on another hour's worth just on programming. E will be just on dealing with the will. And F will be on the area of crisis and violence. And we may put the rest of those in separate ones also. So let's take a look. The Lord bless you and just strengthen you, protect you, and guard you and guide you. May God give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know Jesus deep better, but also that he might give us a spirit and wisdom like Stephen that none could stand up against. And that's very needed as we're dealing with inside personalities. You, again, may be looking at a victim, someone's very pitiful and that you have compassion for, and all you know is you want to hug them and love them. The issue is that there's personalities in there that have possibly abused other children, personalities in there that possibly has blood on their hands, personalities that have demons, personalities that are cult loyal that might even cut you or hurt you if they you know, get the opportunity, and the whole issue of demonization. So we've got an entire package here that is so big and so broad. Now, what I've noticed in the secular world of psychiatry and psychologists, both in the books they write and in the interactions personally I've had in my office or with them, you cannot deal with a real SRA MPD without the spiritual side, without the reality of satanic presence, satanic agenda, and the Lord Jesus and what his agenda is. 1 John 3:8 again, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy Satan's work. So let's take a look at the overview, and this is completely going to be a biblical and spiritual, when I say spiritual, in Christ way of approaching the satanic ritually abused multiple, or the cult multiple. Maybe I'll just throughout this session call it cult multiple, so that we just will say the same thing all the way through. Point number one on page 40, if you have the notes, again, may the Lord bless you and give you insight. Listen, again, integrate all your information and knowledge that you have and just keep adding and so forth. There may be things that you already have, things that God may give you now, remind you of as you're going through this. Maybe you'll remember people that you've dealt with already and just how things went. Again, write the notes and let God just minister to you. We trust that he will. Number one, getting the big picture, the knowledge and the understanding. Now listen, that even when someone's brought before you and they're in the office waiting, or if you are on the field or in a church office setting somewhere, the issue is the big picture. That's what many were not getting in the 80s and 90s, because when you come now, you know, for me now, 20 years later or so, to come and sit before a multiple, an SRA MPD, a cult multiple, there's a different approach than I had 20 some years ago. What I'm already doing, what I've already done, usually if I already know the meeting's coming, I've already prayed through and prayer mapped and really sought the Lord on the demonic realm in them, the personalities, just every bit of information the Lord may give me ahead of time. When I have them right in front of me, I begin just spiritually reading them, observing their eyes, their all their actions and so forth. I'm reading them and I'm writing notes down, and I'm using spiritual discernment to discern the demonic. So I'm writing notes down and I'm beginning to talk with them. They're beginning to talk with me, or at least a personality. You know how it is. Again, there's just no way of just saying step one, step two, step three, because it may be a personality that's there waiting for you and not the main person. It may be a cult loyal. It might be a protector, guardian, so forth. Bottom line is, when you're reading them and discerning, the assumption, like we said in one of the other sessions, is that there's probably more than one or two or three others that are reading you and watching you. I mean, they're reading you, and they're gonna be able to discern. They know whether or not you have demons or the Holy Spirit. They know whether or not you're part of the covenant or not, and so they're going to assess you in some ways. They're going to see if you're a harmer, especially the guardian or especially the protector personality on the inside. They're going to make sure. So realize that they're going to be reading you and watching you, observing you. And that's all right, because you want to give them opportunity to trust you, to know you. You're going to be a person of integrity. You're never going to lie to them. You're going to tell them the truth. You're going to tell them that when you don't know something, you'll go research it. You'll go seek the Lord. And you're going to represent yourself as a believer in Christ, representing Christ in them, the real Christ to them. They're going to be in survival mode and skeptical mode and fear, and all kinds of other things are here. So allow them to read you and look and, tell them, take a look at me, and you'll see the difference. I'm not one of the people from your past. And they'll be able to know that. They really will. Whether you say that or not, they're going to be reading you either way. So it's very important that you just begin to take notes and look and observe and watch. The next thing on here is diagnosis. How do you diagnose when somebody's really a multiple? And I always tell people, I just never do. I never give a diagnosis in this sense. Until I literally talk to a sub-personality, person to person, Even if the Lord tells me there's names of individuals, even if you know, they say they are, or they've been diagnosed, you know, through a process at a you know, in a psych ward or something like that, I wait till I actually talk to a subpersonality and begin to deal with them that way. That's when I, you know, then are saying clearly, yeah, you're MPD. And when I'm dealing with subpersonalities and all the markers for ritual abuse and so forth come up, then yeah, that's diagnosis takes care of itself, because the proof's in the pudding. If they really are a cult multiple, then all the factors of satanic ritual abuse and other personalities and all of that will come to bear. You're going to have demonization, you're going to have need for inner healing, you're going to have personalities programming, inside and outside things to deal with. The next thing in this sitting down in front of them is the idea, again, of sequence, you know, how you're going to start, because you can't just say, what if they come in and all of a sudden they switch to another personality and they immediately this demonized personality starts talking to you or challenging or whatever else. So you may have to move immediately into a deliverance session type thing and deal with that. So overall sequence is getting to know them and getting ready to minister to them, knowing that you're going to go, first of all, after the demonic realm, second of all, you know, knowing all the personalities you can know and ministering to them, and third of all, the inner healing issue for any and all the inside personalities. Now, that's an overview, in a sense, but that it's going to have to be repeated, and you're going to have to do some things first, some things second, but in each case, I'm asking the Lord to give me a sense as I'm the first, you know, the first hour that I'm with somebody, I'm looking for a sequence or what I feel led to do first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or the things that I know that are going to have to be dealt with. If I get indicators that they are being definitely triggered by outside persons in a coven, well, then I know I'm going to have to deal with that issue. You know, there's just the issue of this whole you know, engagement in the very beginning of reading, discerning, diagnosis, and getting some sense of sequence. Well, bottom line, that when there is the, you know, that's kind of over with, you say, okay, let's start, let's just get together and start. Well, bottom line, you're going to begin with prayer, in the sense of going after the demonic. Now, when I tell them this, I, you know, of course, I'm encouraging them not to be afraid or whatever, and I just mainly start with saying, can I begin to pray? Now, usually for me, through an episode with a multiple, even when I'm praying, my eyes are open. I'm looking at them. I'm looking at any responses, anything that happens, because numerous things can occur. A demonized personality can come up and attack you. A personality can throw them on the floor. Switching can occur. All kinds of things can occur. So as I begin to pray. The general sense is I may pray, Lord, just encircle, you know, this time with your presence and power. You know, I may pray. I've already probably done this ahead of time, but I may pray, you know, basically seal the room. Spiritually, may Lord Jesus, we know you're going to be here. Let your angels be here to deal with anything in that realm, and rebuke and command all demons to be bound until you deal with them as things come up. And pray for God to order the way and to lead and to guide, to show you what is best and to lead you in the way that you should go. Now, the basic thing is this. The basic normal thing is, and again, we'll give you a separate one-hour session just on this, but for right now, the basic issue is going after the demonic. Going after the demonic. And ultimately, you want to deal with any kind of number one ruling spirit or head spirit or coven, you know, the ruling one on the inside. And also that get a sense of whether there's a demonic presence that's over a coven that may, in a sense, lay claim to this person in front of you too, this multiple cult multiple in front of you. And so you may, the goal will be dealing with the ruling spirit and any outside coven type spirit also. The other side of this is preemption. In other words, if the Holy Spirit gives you the name of a demon, then, you know, and I feel, well, usually when that occurs, then I go after and I command that demon to come forward. Now, again, in commanding, listen, basically the idea is commanding and demanding, commanding and ordering them, you know, binding them from running anywhere, hiding anywhere, being dismissed, things like that, and commanding them to not harm the little ones, or anything else to occur. As a matter of fact, in the very beginning, many times I'll say, if you have any little ones on the inside, right now, why don't you let them go to their safe place? Let's ask the Lord to guard them and protect them. And we command that no demon in any personality, anywhere in the system, anywhere, will harm them, and a general sense of safety. And again, a command of the demons that they're not going to harm any personality. Because the issues here are, demons may leave one personality only to jump into another personality down lower and hide out. Most demonized personalities will probably try to hide out using the upper level personalities as shields so that you might not detect them. And the bottom line is that you're wanting to go after the demonic, because when you're going to go after the demonic, you're going to begin to break things, demonic seals that have been done to keep things hidden, to keep personalities down. This is where when demonic stuff, obviously when you have full-blown manifestation demonically in front of you, then you go after that. And you're going to command them, again, that no harm is going to be done. You're not going to receive any help from anywhere else. And you're just going to be ordering them. And in the one-hour session, I'll be talking about any information that comes forward, how they got in, what they're doing there, commanding them to acknowledge under the authority of Christ who really is the Lord of heaven and earth. Because when demons do this in front of cult-loyal personalities, they see a greater power has come. They think that their demons and their power demons are the greatest things around, and that they're very powerful. But when they see the authority of Jesus, especially coming from you, in their view, a mere human being, get rid of demons, that's pretty impressive. Even to priestesses and priests in the inside, the really heavy duty loyal cult loyal ones. And you can be sure that there's going to be warfare being done by inside personalities against you. And so just here's where you need spirit-led warfare, spirit-led discernment and authority, but by all means, based on Luke chapter 10, verse 17, 18, so forth, and the way that Jesus did it all through the gospel, you take authority and you command and demand what is going on here. You're in charge as Jesus was in the case of anyone that's demonically manifesting, or if demons are hiding. And you may go after how many are there, and things like that. So that as you do that, the whole issue is you're going to get rid of demons. You're going to be commanding them out and never coming back, and so forth. So part of it's going to be preemption, or you head on, especially if there's manifestations or demons talk, or if you're commanding them to come to the forefront and bring no harm to the individual. Many times, the person the personality knows the demon or demons are there, and they will acknowledge yes and no and so forth when you're saying things. So I may be looking at one of the multiples and saying, is there one or more demons, there? And they might say, with their eyes closed or whatever, they might say, though, there's three here. And the demon is cussing you out, or the demon is saying, for me to get up and run, or the demon is calling on other demons. So the person inside, because of the way they have been brought up and in this whole system, inwardly they see more than you and I do. And so you may see a lot of responses from them and hear from them. And that's good so that you can continue to, again, command the exposure of the demonic, deal with them, even if it's one by one, sometimes by groups. Sometimes there might be a head demon and there's 44 or 180 with them or whatever. Well, then commanding them all to leave, all of them, is very vital. So that's what you're going to have to deal with. You're going to have to deal with the demonic up front and first, because many times it's the demons that empower the programmed personalities to do what they do. It's the demons that hold down buried personalities. Rituals have been done with demons to seal areas that nobody's supposed to be able to get to. So you have this whole issue of supernatural, demonic empowerment, enablement, sealing, hiddenness, rituals just for hiddenness, and so forth. So that when you're breaking demonic presence, all of a sudden personalities are going to be afterwards are going to be able to come up and talk and they're going to be freed. They're going to see that there's been power encounters. And so there's a whole lot of activity that may occur, and you'll have to go by the leading of the Spirit to break everything you are led to break, to command every demon in the way you're led to command them and order them and get them out and so forth. And whether or not God wants you to get any information or information is given, that's another thing. Overall, you're going after the demonic. Under B, page 40, the personalities is the next part of what you're going to be dealing with. And this will happen from the beginning to the end, listening to them and talking to them. This involves understanding them and their ages and so forth. Sometimes you might have a protector that is mean and angry and cusses you out, might even be demonized at first. You get the demon off, you find out that they're only a 13-year-old personality that's tired and doesn't want to, they're just tired of doing their job. That's all they do all day long is keep outside people out and keep the inside personalities in and deal with the little ones on the inside, and they're tired of it. And I've found many times that it's protectors that I begin to forge kind of an alliance with in helping overall and helping them directly too. So getting an understanding of the personalities as you talk with them, and trust is built as they talk to you and see you as a different person. There's a thing I call retruthing, or a truth encounter that occurs. And a lot of the personalities that come forward, they might say, well, Jesus, he's the one that put us in the circle with the pentagram, and he's the one that led us to cut people. Well, retruthing is going over the fact that satanic covenants and people like that, they have used Jesus scenarios as kind of a belief inoculation to keep them from turning to Jesus. So whenever they hear about Jesus, all they know about Jesus is, well, the Jesus they know sexually uses them, is at the rituals, cuts them, screams at them, and so forth. Well, that is not the real Jesus. And you're going to have to begin to share with them the real Jesus. And I find myself saying this all the time to all multiples I meet. Every time I refer to Jesus, many times I'll say the real Jesus, so that they'll know there's a difference, so they have a kind of retruthing, a truth encounter. And that's true about the Scriptures too, as you're engaging them with Scripture, that certain verses may mean something completely different to them. One multiple, called multiple, when I mentioned about Jesus saying, if anybody believes in me, as the Scripture has said, this is in John chapter 7, and quoted this so many times with all kinds of lost people to lead them to Christ and so forth, but also to personalities. And I just simply said, Jesus said, if anyone believes in me, out of their inmost being would flow rivers of living water. This is a reference to the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. And this one individual said, no, it's not. And they said, read it again. I read it again. They said, read it again. I read it again. And they grabbed that out of my hand, and they wanted me to get another translation of the Bible and read it in that translation. And finally, when they read it for themselves, they sat there dumbfounded. And I said, what's wrong? They said, well, whenever the person dressed in a priest uniform used to quote this verse, they would urinate in their mouth. This would all be involved in some perverse sexual activity, and the individual would be urinating in the cult multiple's mouth, referring to this being the living waters, living stream, this waters, that Jesus would give them. And of course, you're going to find verses that are completely corrupted and twisted by them to keep them from ever knowing the truth. They're doing a lot of things to keep them from knowing the truth. So a lot of truth encounter will go in discussing with them and telling them and explaining to them. And you might be explaining one time to an 8-year-old. You might be explaining to another time a 22-year-old. You might be talking to someone who used to be a runner, someone that used to be a priestess, someone, an assassin, a sex slave. Whatever the personality is, that's where you adapt and realize you're dealing with a family of people on the inside. And that's where mapping comes in, where you're taking notes and you're marking down things. And you need to have that for remembering and so forth. And beginning to get an assessment of how many and what types of personalities are down there. Again, in the beginning levels, usually it's the upper level home-created personalities, little ones that want to get out. They want help. They don't want the dark side. Sometimes you get somebody else in there that wants to be able to get out of it, and they see a ray of hope when you talk to them. So you're going to do maybe an assessment of types, and you're going to need to do this all along, all the way through, because I haven't had a session yet, and I don't know of a session anywhere yet where a real full-blown cult multiple is healed all in one evening. So you need to continue to build, and it's kind of, again, like putting a puzzle together. Once the pieces are, you know, you put more and more and more and more of them together, you get the big picture. And that's important to know the types that are in there for who you to pray, who you're going to be praying for, and so forth. And you're going to find those who are going to be allies with you. Now, you're going to deal with the fact that some are going to come up and give disinformation. Some are going to come up with, if they have the denial programming or whatever else inside of them, they're going to get up and give to counter you and so forth. Bottom line in this part of the whole thing is just interacting. Let them talk. Let them express things. There's times that I sit back and let some just, if they're come out to lie and tell all kinds of other stuff, and I know the opposite, I just let them, hang themselves in a way. Just keep talking and talking and talking, because what they don't know is the programming inside of them and what they're ordered to be and ordered to do, usually out of punishment too, and the demons hurting them if they don't, go a certain direction. Or even coming out to talk to you, they can be harmed. And they're very fearful about that. So there is that whole issue of getting to know all of them and what's in there, and finding somebody maybe on the inside and asking the Lord, is there somebody there that's going to be an ally, that knows the Lord already, that's going to help in all this process and tell, who's there and what's going on. And that's very important. And you're making friends and being kind and so forth. And don't be alarmed if you have personalities that come up and cuss you out and tell you to back off and all this kind of stuff at first. Again, you may be dealing with a 15-year-old male personality inside a 45-year-old woman's body. And all that personality knows that if they don't get rid of you, they're going to get, they're going to get pulled up back at the coven meeting, and they're going to get beat or shocked or whatever else. So there, you need to tell them, I know you're here just to protect, and we want to help protect. And once they get to see some of the encounters, they may be more likely, or especially if they encounter Jesus and you take them through the inner healing part. And the more that occurs, the more ministry that can occur, you're getting closer to the total freedom of the whole individual. Well, primarily dealing with the demonic realm and really going all out to exhaust that issue at first. Not that you won't have demons all along the way, because you may have that again and again, but that's primarily. Deal with all the demons you can first and break things first. Secondly, talking and understanding and listening, letting them observe you and finding out many things and mapping it all and so forth. Then the third, which is C on page 41, is you come, eventually the point where you talk to a personality and you just simply, as you see where they're at and they want to know the Lord. And many times I will ask them, do you want me to invite Jesus to come there on the inside for a freedom? And I don't even say freedom account. I just say that Jesus wants to come in. He does. I've just seen this now experientially so many times. Jesus wants to get to all those people. It's like getting to a whole new island of lost people out there. And you're like the missionary bringing Christ to an uncharted world. And part of the issue is the fact that some of them are cult loyal and demonized, and some of them have other, programming and jobs and so forth and secrets, and especially if they're military and whatever. There's so much to deal with. But if you deal with the demonic, if you open yourself up to the personalities, let them know who you are, and talk to many of them, as many as you can, to put it all together and assess, as you're reading them too, and asking the Lord for the sequence, any names of personalities that the Lord might just give you. As you're going along and you find a block sometimes, you say, you're inwardly, I'm praying constantly, and say, Lord, is there someone I can call on to come up? And that happens in both good and bad ways. There's been times where the Lord gives me a name and I'll call that name out, and all of a sudden here comes a personality that's angry and mad. How did I know that? And what am I doing, as a mere human being, bothering them? Don't I know that they're a very powerful priestess or powerful, in the coven system, and that they have no right to you, that I have no right talking to them? Well, I just keep talking. I explain something. I said, well, I got things to show you that nobody's ever shown you. and I've got things to tell you that nobody's ever told you. And I said, you know, don't you want to hear some other side, you know, sides of the story? And just engaging them. Engaging them is important because that's even going to help break programming. So this process, though, of clearing out the demons, talking to the personalities, and then thirdly, when you find a personality, and usually in the beginning, it's the home-created little personalities that want Jesus. They want Jesus. So on page 41, point C, inviting Jesus in. And please understand something, that when we talk about inner healing here, we're talking about a biblical approach. And when I say biblical, I mean the Bible talks about how he is close to the brokenhearted. He's near the brokenhearted. He comes to bind up and heal. The healing ministry of Jesus is both an inside and outside issue. So yes, in the early New Testament days, and for many, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years, we don't know of multiples. But we do understand that Satan has an agenda of transmuting humans. And here's the issue. We're left with what Satan has done to a human being in splitting their personalities, demonizing them, and building them, or at least attempting to build them as some kind of superhuman for the coming use, both in the Black Awakening and in the rise of the Antichrist. So you're dealing with core issues here of prophecy. And the ministry that Jesus brings is always about, you know, saving, healing, delivering. So when I am with an individual and it's a person that I'm talking to, I'll ask them to close their eyes and just simply say, let's ask the Lord Jesus to come in on the inside. Sometimes I even say, you know, when they're sitting in front of me with their eyes closed, I'll say, well, inside, look up. And then I will pray, Lord Jesus, come now down to them. And show yourself, literally show yourself. Now, Jesus did this to Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus saw this blinding light, and he, who is it, Lord? He cried out. And Jesus said, it is me, it's Jesus. John on the Isle of Patmos saw Jesus come in a certain way. What we have happening here is literally real. Totally reject the idea of any kind of New Age imagery and all that junk. This has nothing to do with that. This has to do with the real Jesus showing up. Whether you want to call it in vision form or whatever else, that's fine. Because even a biblical vision is this. It's really a picture, a message in pictorial form. But what I find in dealing and asking, you know, when we invite Jesus to come on the inside, and if they're willing to let him come in before them, even when they're afraid, it's okay. Because you can tell them, Jesus won't even, you know, he won't come up to you and grab you, things like that. Just, you know, we're dealing with the will here. So invite them to come, you know, Jesus to come. And when, you know, I ask them sometimes, do you see? Oh, yes, I see a bright light coming towards me. Well, we're not dealing with just a bright light here, folks. We're dealing with the living Christ. And there is a brightness, a shining out, even as Saul of Tarsus found that out. Pretty soon they say, yes, I see him. He looks like, you know, this. Or he begins to describe someone and brilliant and beautiful. And for them, it's an incredible experience. And I just simply say, could you ask Jesus, you know, let's ask him to come closer to you. And normally I find that we need to ask them to come, you know, so, okay, now will you walk closer to Jesus? And I quote verses like in John's Gospel 5 and 6 where it talks about Jesus saying, anybody who comes to me in no wise would I drive them away. In no way would he do that. And so we find again and again, and I've seen over, you know, just hundreds of times at this point now, where the personality on the inside will come closer to Jesus. And then some things begin to occur. The whole issue is, if you can get him to that meeting and to that point right there, and here's where Isaiah 17:18 comes in. This is my great favorite verses. The Lord our God, you know, the Holy One of Israel, who's our Redeemer. Now listen, it says that he's there to teach us what is best and lead us in the way we should go. So that's what I'm trusting to the entire encounter, but specifically right now, there's that sense of, Lord Jesus, show me what is absolutely best and the way that you want to lead this right now. And to really rely on just the brilliance, superiority, God's omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence, of course, too. So they're there now. If you've got them to the point where they're literally seeing Jesus, realize this is great because this is an encounter that they're going to have, kind of again, like Saul of Tarshish did. Others are watching. Sometimes even the most cult loyal ones are way, way, way in the background. And I find out that Jesus has no problem. He knows who's watching, just like Judas among the camp. He knows who's there. And others are seeing what's going to happen. Other little ones will be hiding. They want to see what's going to happen. Well, here I begin with saying, you know, let's see what Jesus has to say. And I'll pray, Lord Jesus, would you speak? Let's say the personality's name is Sarah. I will say, would you please speak to Sarah? And just whatever you've been wanting to tell her, just speak to Sarah. And Sarah, you'll see even, you watch again their face. You'll see them, you know, shake their head up and down. And you'll see them smile. And sometimes I'll even say, do you feel a presence around you? And they'll tell me. Wow, yes, I feel loved and compassion. It's just I've never felt anything like this. And then we begin to, again, as Jesus is speaking to them, I sometimes ask them, what did Jesus tell you? Now listen, I'm relying on the Holy Spirit first to tell me things. And all through this process right here, I'm asking Jesus, where do you want me to go next? And what are you saying? So that many times I may know before they tell me. But I don't interject it. I let them have the encounter. So when Jesus speaks to them, sometimes I say, do you have a question for Jesus? Do you want to ask him something? It doesn't make any difference what it is. The hardest question in the world. You can ask him whatever you want to ask him. And many times the personality will ask Jesus. Jesus will answer with a simple sentence. And they'll be like, all of a sudden, their hardest thing is solved. And I'll ask them do you want Jesus to cleanse you? Because many of them are afraid to come because they're in dirty clothes or they feel cruddy or they feel guilty or whatever. And you want Jesus to cleanse you? If you want to ask this Jesus here, this real Jesus you're seeing to be your Savior and Lord right now. And so it's like leading them to salvation and asking the Lord to cleanse them. There's been times Jesus stepped forward or the personality went forward and Jesus touched them with his hands. There's been times I sensed that Jesus had something to give them. Like one little girl personality, I said, well, it seems like the Lord Jesus has something to give you. What is it? And she, you know, her eyes are closed, but she's inside looking up at him. And she says, well, he has a box. And I said, well, go ahead and take it. And, you know, she's all excited. It's for her. And she takes the box. This is a personality that was extremely depressed and disillusioned and hopeless. And she opens the box, and I say, what happened? And she says, music is playing, but the music all of a sudden goes right into her. It's almost as though God, the Bible talks in Isaiah, I think, that God sings songs over us. But it's like all of a sudden this joy, she says, all I know is music. It's like joy begins to flow into her, and hope begins to flow into her. Romans 5 talks about how this the hope of, you know, even Romans, my favorite verse in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit begins to pour in some joy and touch with joy and hope and counter. This is the exact same thing we see in Ephesians chapter 3 when Paul says he kneels before the Father from whom the whole family in heaven and earth derive his name. He says, I pray out of his glorious riches he will strengthen you. Where? Where? In the inner man by the power of the Spirit so that Christ would dwell there by faith. So even my life when I say, Lord, out of your glorious riches, strengthen me. The Greek word for strengthening is the opposite of depression. It's coming against depression and so forth. So the Spirit of God can literally minister. He can minister a sense of hope, a sense of joy, a sense of God's love and compassion. And many times they're really blown away and they just simply want Jesus. There's been times that someone said, but my clothes are filthy and bloody and ripped up or whatever. And I say, Lord Jesus, would you give them new clothes? And many times they'll say all of a sudden they have brand new bright white shining clothes. And then we'll ask the Lord Jesus many times. Again, ask and go with what Jesus needs to do to this personality. This particular personality may have gone through many sex rituals or been through many things. They may need a specific working of healing in the sense of over their shame, taking away filthiness, and so forth. And so there might be healing also, to where, you know, we ask, Lord Jesus, would you lay your hands on this person and heal them? And that's happened many times. And then the rest of the physical body or person might feel something happen, let alone the personality is healed. And normally when we come to this time, right around here somewhat time, is, and again, when I feel led, I say, well, you know what? Jesus really wants to minister to you. And let's ask what he wants, you know, what does he want you to do right now? By this time, 99% of the time, personalities, just they simply want to go with Jesus. There's times that I've said, Lord, you know, open that door to where you're at, and the personality else, I see that doorway. And I'll say, well, would you like to go with Jesus through there? Because no one will ever harm you again. No cult member will ever trigger you again. Nobody can ever pull you back or get you or whatever. No personality, listen, this is the principle I just found out about all this. No personality is annihilated or dies. Now, in some cases, people talk about integration, whatever else. That's fine. That's a psychological term. There's some cases where there might be some, quote, enfolding, where you ask the Lord, does this person need to just join with the rest of the personality as a whole? I don't find that happen very much. Under the leading of the Lord Jesus and what he wants to do, almost all the time, and I say to the personality this time, whether old or young, whether former cult loyal or whatever, if they've come to this point, if they've had a truth encounter, a power encounter, a compassion encounter, a healing encounter, and so forth, if what they're seeing is extraordinary to them, then in almost every one of these cases, they'll say, yeah, Jesus wants me to go with it, and I want to go. Usually the little ones say, I want to go with Jesus. They want to go. And here's all I know is that Jesus does take them, and they go off. Other personalities have watched this before. Sometimes they say, wait, you know, someone will pop up, I want to go too. There's been times when I even ask little ones, is there other little ones that want to go right now? And they'll say, yes, there's this little baby one, there's this, Joey's over here holding a little one, you know, might be 10 other ones that all of a sudden come forward. And we ask the Lord to just bless them, love them, save them, wash them, cleanse them, heal them, and all who want to go with Jesus. And we've seen sometimes one individual or 15 just all come to Jesus. And they see the compassion. Jesus picks up little babies and ones that are broken, that can't speak, and things like that. And he simply takes them all. And when he takes them, it's kind of, again, a release of healing. Now, I don't have an answer for you about where he takes them, whether that means they're still within but healed, whether they go with him directly, because we're dealing with the soulical aspect of a human being that has been ripped up anyway. And we're dealing with distinct, separate personality. And all I'm telling you at this point that I know of by my experience, you know, seeing it, you know, hundreds of times, that they just want to go. And they end up going with Jesus. And it's an awesome thing. And so when they go with Jesus, the door closes, you know, others that want to go, that's great. Now, here's what happens in all of it. In this freedom encounter, we're finding that there's a power encounter. They're seeing the power of God, really, literally. They're seeing the power of God. They're seeing the compassion of God, of Christ. He has compassion like Mark chapter 1. He was filled with compassion, and he healed the man. And so there's just this compassion of Jesus. And there's times when things are happening, I can feel it going on by the Spirit of God. What's happening on the inside, I'm feeling by the Spirit of God. And sometimes the Lord's telling me what he's going to do. And I'll even suggest, the Lord, I believe, wants to do such and such right now. Or I'll feel a prompting from the Lord. The Lord Jesus just wants to take you with him so you'll be safe. And what we found in all of this, when they end up going with Jesus, that even when cult multiples have been captured and taken back to a coven or whatever, and even the ones we've dealt with on a military basis, they say that coven handlers or handlers and so forth are frustrated and angry because they can't find those personalities any longer. They can't trigger them. They can't call them up. They can't do anything. We even had one of the military multiples come back, and they were asking, telling me that that they were demanding to know if we were using equipment, if we were using machinery, some kind of technology. And they told them, no, just Jesus and prayers. And they said the handlers were just confounded and angry and frustrated. Obviously so. That's true of the Pharisees of the early times of Jesus and others that got frustrated with his way of working. Well, he works against and different from their evil ways. But you're going to find power, compassion, truth, and even an extraordinary working sometimes. There might even be some extraordinary things. So again, all of this, keep asking the Lord for any scripture to back you, to give you insight, to be your grid. Please understand that Jesus will never lead, minister, work, speak anything contrary to what Scripture teaches, and vice versa. Scripture will back the real ministry. The word and the works of Jesus go together. And in the book of Acts, we see supernatural and extraordinary things occur. We see iron bars open all by themselves with Peter when he was in prison and chains fall off his arms. We see visitation of angels. We see Peter having a vision, a day vision, come right down to him, a big sheet. God can give vision to individuals. And all these different kinds of encounters. The power of Spirit can fall on them. The working of the Lord, healing, eyes like Paul's, scales fell from his eyes and he could see again. Or when Paul was in Tyrannus, the lecture hall and so forth, God did extraordinary miracles. Well, listen, we're dealing with extraordinary satanic work, the core of his kinds of works that have just ripped this human being to pieces. Why not ask for the best that Jesus can, will give? The best of everything. Seek the Lord for all of the grace and mercy and all of the miracle, extraordinary works of Jesus for extraordinary issues. And let's just see Jesus do his work, and you'll be astounded. This is the Lord Jesus in works, word, and character. And it's all awesome. It really is all awesome. And it should many times astound you in the way he is working. And just like in the Gospel of Mark, how the people were amazed at what Jesus did. Well, that's, again, going to be we'll take a one-hour session over just that subject coming up here. This is the overview. Point D on page 41, programming and subpersonalities. Please understand the programming, only a mind can be programmed. So programming is in a personality. If someone says, well, they got denial programming, or they got Alice in Wonderland programming, or they got NASA programming, or they got Monarch programming, or they got whatever the programming, it's in personalities. So that if you deal with the personality, it's programmed. If one just knows they're supposed to run, I don't know, I just got to run, I got to go. Why do you got to go? They just got to go. Or one that's supposed to be a sex slave, all of a sudden they pop up, and all they think about is that they're going to have sex with you. They're supposed to have sex with you, and they're trained to have sex with anybody, and they're trained to do everything. Well, the programming is in the types of personalities. They might have a personality programmed demonstrate, to act insane and crazed. And listen, if they trigger that personality to come forward, many times that's what sends them to a psych ward and keeps them there for a while. And that's one of the methods, again, handlers and so forth will use, programmers will use for backups in keeping their people away from people like you and me. So when you're dealing with programming, there's a number of things. There's different types. Programming is related to actual personalities and the minds and emotions of personalities. Many of these personalities in their teens can be 12 years old, be programmed and demonized to act in one way. You may find an assassin that only knows one thing, to kill the target they're given. Just trust and hope the Lord that you're not the target that they've been given. But it's always a possibility. So again, rely on the Spirit of God to give you insight. And part of what breaks programming is, one, asking the Holy Spirit to soften and to break the programming that they've been put through, whether screen memory, through taped loop, whether it's been just told them again and again and again. Usually it's, again, programming has to do with almost a level of repetitious programming in the sense of outward cult people in cults like the Moonies and the Way International, so forth. The idea of totalism. Personalities are that have been brought up and been told that they're one thing and told that again and again and again, or maybe they were forced to listen to a tape or maybe some kind of, again, internet programming or something downloaded in that sense, or seen screen memories, whatever, their name and their function usually go together, and the programming, as you begin to pray for it to be softened and broken, also what can happen is in reasoning with them. When a personality says, this is what I am, this is what I do, this is my job, this is what I'm supposed to lie to you, and all I'm going to do is lie to you and lie, and then tell them about truth, the difference between the two, and tell them, I constantly tell them, you have a choice to make. No, I cannot, and they'll always say, I can't, I just, this is all I know, this is all I know, this is all I know. The tighter the programming, the less interaction. But once they get off the track of programming, once you can get them to make a little stop, and then interact with you, you're going to begin to get, you're going to be, all of a sudden that mind is going to be broken in the sense that the programming that was just like a stiff board running through their head now all of a sudden has a gap. And they realize they could choose for a moment and come, just talk to me direct. They could choose for a moment and think something else. They could choose for a moment and choose, whatever. Many times personalities that even still have programming where they just know they got to do one thing, one thing, one thing. If I invite, I ask them, can we ask Jesus to come? Now listen, let me tell you, when you break programming too, if demonic presence is empowering the program, you must break the demonic programming first. That's like the like electricity. Before I undo a electrical outlet and start going to change it or mess with it, what are you going to do? Shut off the electricity so you don't get shocked. Well, because the current, the demonic is the electricity, the current that runs through the programming and keeps it charged and hard as a board. And so if you rebuke and command the demonic off, and any one time we had a demon that had 10 others with him, well, it was a total of 10 altogether, that one and 9 others, and we commanded them all to, him and all the demons to leave. Well, then it was much easier to talk, and they realized it's almost like something was lifted from them, and we began to engage, and they begin to come out of the fog. They begin to hear things that they've never heard before. Because they've never been allowed to talk to people like you. They've never been allowed to talk at all. They've never been out of their cage. So what you're dealing with is beginning, and assume that every personality is part of the will. Part of the will, human will is pliable. Human will can choose. Human will can gauge and consider and think and reason. And so that's what you need to get them to begin to do. Even in exit counseling for outside cults, for like the Moonies and so forth, when old deprogrammers used to get them and sit them in a hotel room and start to yell at them or tell them, they're trying to break that systematic locked in thread of teaching that they've gotten, and it's lies, of course, and you've got to break the lies. So I have just simply found that dealing with the demonic over the programming, discussing with them, even having them out to talk with you, whatever the Holy Spirit gives you to say to them, asking them to consider, like, well, have you ever considered this, a certain verse of Scripture God may give you to give to them? And they begin to think about it and think about it. Once they begin to think, then again, they're doing something they've never done before. And you tell them again and again, you can think, you can choose, you can decide. God created you to be a free human will, mind, emotion, and choice. And you're allowed to choose. And they'll even say, no, I'm not. No, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Why? Because God originally created the will, and there's reason there, intellect, and there's emotion that's connected to that, and there's choice. And yes, they can choose. The whole issue of occult multiple is so they can't choose. They can be controlled. Is there a word of God that you need to give them? A word of wisdom the Holy Spirit will lead to give? A scripture verse? Things like that. And once they come off the tracks of programming, you begin to read, think, consider things and begin to hear about Jesus, and if you can lead them to inviting Jesus in and having an encounter, even Jesus can speak directly to anything else that's, you know, the programming issue in their mind or whatever. And that's where it's going to be broken, when they know they don't have to, you know, do that, that it's a lie, when they can acknowledge that and renounce that. And again, we'll have a one-hour separate session just on this programming. But that's part of what you're going to deal with in the overview. Point E on page 41, the will of a cult loyal and other persons. Now, it's the will. I just got done mentioning this. Now, let me just say this. You're dealing with human will here. God, Jesus said in John 7, whoever wills to do my will shall know the teaching, whether it's from God. That's an issue of willingness. Jesus stood outside of Jerusalem and cried out, oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how often I would have, the Greek word, thelema, willed. He would have had them come, and he would gather them and love them and care for them. Then Jesus said these words, but you would not. The Greek word thelema, will. You willed not. Now, we read in Timothy chapter 2 that it's God's will that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And that just apply that to this principle, to human will, because human will is the core of a human being. You can't be a human without it. Now, just because it's multiplicity, don't think that it, you know, that anything can be done separately. I mean, there's some miracle that God gives down the road where he just zaps a multiple back all into one human personality. That's fine, but it will never involve overriding the will. God does not override the will. He doesn't program the will. He doesn't force the will. That's what they did. And I tell multiples that I'm talking with, different personalities and parts and cult loyal ones and whatever, I tell them that. God doesn't override the will. They must choose. They must exercise what they want as it's laid before them. God's not like the programmers where he's going to get them, hold them down, force them to think a certain way. God does have a way. God presents that way. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. And so you're leading them to take a look at God's will, God's way, God's direction. And and that's why sometimes this takes a lot of time, because of the issue of the will. But when they're willing to listen, to learn, to reject the lies, when they're willing to, and the willing, again, when there's deliverance, that's why we start there first, the will is more liberated anyway. And they're able to choose and think and get the fog off their head. And so realize you're dealing with human will. And again, inviting Jesus into the encounter is one of the best ways to get any personality, their will engaged with Christ and healing, and them to choose Christ. So realize that you're going to have sometimes cult loyal ones that they're going to be choosing against you. They're going to fight against you. They sometimes may take a little bit longer. But I've also found that when they've watched Jesus on the inside healing and showing himself and demons crushed and kicked out, then they're like in awe, and they want that too. They want, and sometimes because of their conditioning, they want that power. Like in Acts chapter 8, when Simon, the great magician, all he knew was demonic power, power, power. And when he saw what, Philip and then the apostles and those guys came down, the Holy Spirit, he wanted to buy the power, the ability to lay his hands on people. Well, that was a cultic thing they did in those days. They bought abilities and sold scrolls and amulets and everything. And that's why Peter was outraged in a way, because he was reducing the Spirit of God to cultic and occult forms of demonic uses. So let's look at page 41F, crisis and violence along the way. You might have personalities that come up that want to fight. You're going to have to deal with issues like that. And again, I'll have a one-hour session just on this too. But you also have to set boundaries. Because it all doesn't happen in one evening, you might have to spend, for me, the longer I get to spend in the beginning, the better. If I can spend 2-3 days with an individual and get a lot of things done, then a lot of things are done. If we can get 50% of everything done, then we won't have to redo things down the road. The more you can get done in the beginning. But I know the issues of time constraints, whatever else. So like phone numbers and whatever, you got to set boundaries. They understand that anyway. You got to deal with issues of harm. They're not going to be allowed to harm. On page 42, let me just go through these because each of these will have their sessions also. You're going to deal with secrets and crimes. Don't, you know, personality is going to be, don't tell, I got a secret. They might even know where evidence, pictures, videos, things like that are. You might have to involve law enforcement. So you got to be prayerful about this and understand that if, you know, a personality tells you at such and such house these coven members are sexually abusing little girls, you've got to do something about that. You cannot just sit in your office and wait 15 years later for somebody who's been abused, you know, to show up in your office for healing. You've got to, you know, you've got, and again, I'll have a whole section on this, what we've done in the past, tactical teams. Point H, military projects in the Black Awakening. You know, you might be wondering, what did I get myself to do? When all of a sudden they're talking about that and technology and bases they've been to and individuals and show you clothing and uniforms and patches and whatever, you know, that's a lot to get into. And if you get to that point where you're talking to the original reason for their creation to be a chosen one for the Black Awakening and the rise of the Antichrist, then you're getting down to some pretty heavy stuff. Again, I'll have a one-hour session on that for you. This is just the overview. The next few sessions, you know, the sessions will also be the outsiders. You're going to have to deal with handlers, watchers, enforcers. If there's people that are taking them back, we're going to have a session just on that issue, what to do. J, redo, repeat, and add. What do I mean by that? When they come back again, you might, you know, there's times you might have to go over some things. You might have to repeat some deliverance stuff. If some other personality down low conjured demons to come back, you might have to deal with demons again. Maybe not on the same level, but you might have to. And whatever the Holy Spirit gives you to add, keep, you know, whatever God gives you for the best of their saving, healing, delivering. Listen, what Satan can do in these horrible ways, we got to keep trusting the Lord can undo in glorious ways. In glorious ways, in better ways. I keep asking, you know, the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, if you walked up to this multiple, what is it that you would do directly? What would you do, Lord Jesus, in healing them? Because we're not dealing with Mark chapter 1. That wasn't a multiple. He was an individual with many demons, and he was one personality. And when all the demons were gone, he was freed to engage Jesus and want to follow Jesus and love Jesus. We're dealing with people that have many personalities and a satanic technology that have brought them there. So just let's keep asking God for wisdom and supernatural insight on doing the best possible ministry to them. Under K, the related issues we'll go over. That'll probably be 1 hour session. Their marriage, are they married? Are they married to a handler? Are they married to somebody in the coven? Is their marriage breaking apart because the husband or spouse or whatever didn't understand them and can't handle the issue? Their kids, are any of their kids being abused by other personalities? The job they work at, is it coven related? A lot of times in coven, you know, stuff, they're all placed. Do they get to do ministry? Well, no, not yet. What if they're half healed? But what if the other side, what if they still have cult loyal personalities inside? Do you put them in a nursery? Do you put them on stage at church? Do you put them in your office doing things? Absolutely not. And I'll really take you through some issues here. This is a very important issue. And the last thing is just simply the safe housing issues that we'll deal with. And we've already touched on a little bit. But that's the overview of dealing with satanic ritual abuse, cult multiples, and so forth. That's simply the overview. And so your next session, 717, will deal with a one-hour session just on demonization and dealing with that side of them. And then the next one after that, you know, we'll follow this outline here. Again, may the Lord give you tremendous insight and perseverance. May the Lord deliver you from all attacks and so forth, and bless you with Psalm 91's principles and actions that the Lord Jesus grants to us. God bless you, my friend. This is Russ Dizdar, Organization Shatter the Darkness. This is the Freedom Encounter Internet course. You can find more information at shatterthedarkness.net. God bless you.